Before I get started this morning, a personal note. Many of you have been asking about how Alex is doing in Scotland, and if you have not been on his website, I encourage you to go there. He has several posts on the blog page, and he's just also added a podcast to where you can actually hear him talking, giving a report about the things that he's doing. Some pictures come up while that's going on, and while I haven't personally heard all of it through yet, toward the end of that podcast, he has a sermon that he delivered there in Peterhead last Sunday. Also, I hope this week to begin working on a bulletin board, if Greg will allow me to have a piece of the missions bulletin board there and put some pictures and some things from the website for those of you not on the internet or would just like to see it there as well. But he's doing very well. His ministry is off to a great start, really having an impact upon the children that he works with. The main thing that he wanted to do while he was over there was to be in the public schools, and he is there 5 days a week, usually a different school each day, giving a Bible program, singing songs with them. Yes, you can do that in the Scotland public school system over there. And of course, he's inviting kids then to come and be part of their Friday night youth devotionals and other things, and it's just really going well. They have about five in the congregation there that we would call the youth group. And at the last Friday night devotional, they had 25 kids there. So you can see he's having an impact as he goes already. So continue to keep him in your prayers, if you will. Visit alexswango.com, and you can get up on all of this. And then again, we'll try, Lord willing, to have a bulletin board up by next Lord's Day, some things that he's doing and where he lives and all of that. All right. Let's talk about developing some good habits today. Doesn't seem to take a whole lot of effort to develop bad habits. You'll agree with me that we get ourselves into bad habits of laziness or untidiness or whatever it might be, and it just doesn't take a whole lot of ability to kind of sink into doing some of that. And so to combat that, let's talk about forming some good habits today. And reason being is, as Chris read for us out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just a few moments ago, we need to develop some good habits because we're going to be judged on what we do in the body, whether it be good or bad. That's Paul's testimony there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. So if I'm going to be judged on what I do in the body, the deeds done in the body, I want to get as many good ones as I can and as few of bad ones as I can. And so what I've got here this morning is a two-part lesson. I will develop good habits, as you can see on the screen here. This morning is part one, and tonight will be part two. I hope you're following along and you got a Sunday talk as you came in today. You'll notice there in the outline there are 10 points that I want to make, and I'm going to make five of those this morning, and then you hang on to that Sunday talk, put it in your Bible, bring it back tonight, and then we're going to talk about five more this evening on good habits that we need to cultivate. I don't know if you've read any of Og Mandino's books. He has several out there. They are still in print. You can pick them up at the bookstore, of course, off the internet. But one of his more famous books was one entitled The Greatest Salesman in the World. You may have read this. This is a wonderful read. It's an exciting read. It's got some plot to it. And toward the end of the book, he mentions 10 things that are the keys to successful salesmanship. Actually, the 10 keys to being successful in life. And I remember the first time I read this, I was just engrossed in it. I said, oh my goodness, what are these 10 things? I just couldn't put the book down. I read it very quickly because I couldn't wait to find out what it was. And yes, I was very impressed with the 10 suggestions that he gave. But one thing that dawned on me then after I read through those 10 things is that they're all found in the Bible. All he did was borrow some great principles of Scripture and attach a fictional story to it, and that it made it read real well. And so I thought, this will preach. Not because it's Og Mandino's The Greatest Salesman in the World, but because it's Bible. And so truly, let's take a look at these 10 suggestions, not necessarily from Mandino, but from the Word of God, that will allow you to develop some very good habits and to help you in your everyday walk as a Christian. Now, what we're going to find here as we go through these, you'll say, well, this is really simple. You know, this is really easy. And to the surface, it is. But as I go through these and went through these again in preparing and tweaking this lesson for today, I found some of these are very simple to understand and also very difficult to put into practice. I mean, I got to thinking about, well, how would I do number three, you know, or how would I do number four? And there's a challenge there. And so while you may see these as very simple and very direct as we put them on the screen and you fill them in the blanks, realize when you get down to the practical nitty-gritty level, where I like to say the rubber meets the road level, you know, they can be a great challenge, but that's okay. It's always good to be challenged. It's always good to be where you need to be practically in everyday Christian living. And if you get that, a few things you can use out of this lesson and tonight's lesson to put in your life these biblical principles, then I will have succeeded for sure. All right, so principle number one then is, today I will begin a new life. Today, have the attitude that you're going to begin a new life. Paul talks about this in several places, that we are a new creature in Christ. And so many times in life we think, well, it's the same old, been through this before, get up, go to work, eat supper, go to bed, get up, go to work, eat supper, go to bed, you know. But really, life is so much more than that, and it depends, of course, how you look at it, the attitude that you have. And truly, I hope that as we look at life, that we want to see each day as a new beginning, that I will begin a new life. Today, I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to start new. And Paul talks about this in several places. You see the passages listed. I think you have them there in your Sunday talk. I want to go through them briefly. In Philippians 3 and verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward to what lies ahead." Now, you may have heard that passage several times over the years. You may have it memorized, in fact, but let's put it in the context of every day. Last week, did you make a mistake or two? Yeah, I'm in that group. Sure did. Did you leave some things undone you should have got done? Yeah, I'm in that group too, all right? Now, if I wanted, I could dwell on that past, and I could just feel guilty and just remorseful and just kind of give up and say, well, I guess I'm just no good because I've done things I shouldn't have done and I've left things undone that I should have conquered. Or I could have the attitude of the Apostle Paul. I can have that good habit to say, today I'm going to begin a new life. Today I'm going to start over. And I really think that's a lot of what Paul had to say there in Philippians 3 and verse 13. I forget what lies behind, and today I'm going to reach forward for what lies ahead. Paul said, every day I'm going to begin a new life. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, new things have come." Every day presents its new challenges, its new opportunities, its new privileges. We need to think of ourselves as being in Christ, recreated in Him, ready to do new things that come our way. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has recreated us in Christ Jesus for good works. And so let's have the attitude that today I'm going to begin that new life. Today I'm going to have that new start. Today I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to forget what lies behind. Let the Lord forgive that with His blood. And I'm going to have a new attitude, a new life, conquer new things, i.e. form new habits, good habits, and become their slave. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, Paul says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels," meaning within us, "that the surpassing greatness of the power of God may be of Him and not of ourselves." Now watch what he says. "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despairing. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be also manifested in our body." Truly, what kind of attitude are we going to have? He says, "I'm not crushed, I'm not despairing, I'm not forsaken, and I'm not destroyed." truly we will think about those knots as being not a part of our life, no matter whatever else is going on, today we can begin that new life. What a great attitude that is. And so the challenge is that, yes, amongst all the mundane and the everyday and the things that never seem to change, are we going to have that attitude of every day, today I start anew, today I start afresh? I think that's a great biblical principle, and that's a great habit to have and make a slave to be of. All right, number two then. I will greet the day with love in my heart. I will greet the day with love in my heart. Now we know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, that love never fails. And again, sometimes we have read that so many times, it's become so commonplace to us, we just kind of read it and go on. Oh yeah, that's right, Paul said love never fails. And I got to get back to work, I got to get back to family, got to get back to this, got to get back to something else. And it's like, hello? You can't come up with a situation. You can't find me a scenario. You can't find me a happening. You can't find me anything in life that love doesn't work. Right. That's what he's saying. He says no matter what station you find yourself in life, love will never fail. Yeah. Now, you may have to do some other things. I mean, you just can't stop there and just show love. You may have to do your job and do this and do whatever, but do it with love. Treat people with love and you will be successful. Yeah. What did Paul say back there if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 1? He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, it becomes as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I like to think I'm a pretty good public speaker. I even teach it at college level. But if I do it without love in my heart for those that I speak to, whether on the college level or here as your preacher, then it amounts to nothing. But truly, if I'm going to be successful in what I do in life, whether it be in my vocation or advocation or wherever, I need to do it in love. He says in verse 2 there, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Now that's a big one, because we in America, myself included, we think we can do it ourselves, you know? Just give me enough time and enough energy and enough intelligence and I'll fix this thing. And we kind of leave God out of the equation, because that's the way generally America thinks. But Paul says, if you've got all this ability and all this talent and all this giftedness of God, and he mentions these things there about knowing mysteries and the gift of prophecies and tremendous faith, and he says if you do it without love, it amounts to one big fat zero. You know, all of a sudden number two just takes on new meaning to me about starting every day with love. Greeting every day with love in my heart, because no matter how kind of talent I have, you know, what I do, I need to do it in love. Otherwise, Paul says, it doesn't profit me anything. Look at this now in verse 3. He says, if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, and I deliver my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. I think it's great when I see people give of their means, and folks that raise money for this charity and that charity, and they have all kinds of good things out there to help folk who can't help themselves. And you know what a wonderful blessing all of that is for those involved. And you've got people that are very giving and all, but if they just do it out of duty, they just do it because they're pressured into doing it, and they're even being self-sacrificial, like Paul says, if I give my body to be burned and do it without love, it profits me nothing with God. You know, I think a good habit to start every day is that I'm going to greet every day with love in my heart, so that when I go home or family or work or church or whatever it might be, I'm going to coat everything with love. Peter said it this way over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another, because love covers a multitude of sins. If that's the case, if love covers a multitude of sins, I think I want to start every day with love in my heart. And so when you start tomorrow and you think, all right, I got to do this at work, I got to do this at school, I got to do this and this and this and this, coat it soak it, immerse it in love. And then you'll have a great habit that'll cause you to be a success as to wherever you go. Number three here. I don't know if that about you, but I find that one could be tough. Number three, I will persist until I succeed. I will persist until I succeed. The Bible talks about faithfulness and endurance and perseverance all over the place. Yeah. I've just chosen a few passages here. How about Jesus there in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, where he said, "By your perseverance you will win your soul." We should never, ever give up. Never, ever give up when it comes to living the Christian life and doing anything that's worth doing. Because Jesus said, "By your perseverance you will win your souls." I have a book in my office by a fellow who's, I guess, one of my favorite writers. I've read a lot of him, whether I like him or not. But he talks about plodding. He says some of the best people in life, some of the most successful people in life are plodders. And so many times in life, when we think about success and accomplishment and growth and maturity and all of that, we think of people who have done great things, and we think about people who've got their name in lights and et cetera, et cetera. And he says, and he makes a great argument in his book, he says some of the best people on the planet aren't those people, they're the plodders. They're the ones that just keep on keeping on. They're the ones that don't give up, and it doesn't make a difference whether they get credit for it or not. It doesn't make a difference whether somebody knows what they're doing or not. They just keep plodding, because that's the kind of person that God wants. That's the kind of individual that he knows that he will bless ultimately and eternally. By perseverance, you will win your soul, Jesus said. Don't give up. And so the great habit to wake up every morning with in, it says, I'm going to persist. I'm going to hang in there until I succeed. I will not give up on anything that's definitely worth doing. What a great attitude that is. That doesn't mean you're going to be obnoxious. You know, that doesn't mean you're going to be stubborn. I'm not talking about that. Those are other issues. It just says, I'm going to hang in there, and I'm going to keep trying until we get it right. So many times we quit too soon. We just don't give it its full, you know, shot. And as soon as the persecution or the problems or the setbacks or the bumps in the road show up, you know, we say, oh, that's it, forget it, not going to do it. And the problem is not the bumps in the road. The problem is not the persecution. The problem is not the opposition. The problem is just we quit too soon. We didn't give it the full shot. We didn't really try it over a long period of time to figure out how to handle those bumps in the road, how to handle that persecution, how to handle that opposition. And if we'd hung in there, we'd figured that out and we'd been successful anyway. By perseverance, you will win your soul. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, Paul says, "Be faithful." John says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now, how many times have we read that? Thousands, maybe. That's great if you've read that 1,000 times. God bless you. How many times have we started living it? To be faithful, to be perseverant, to hang in there, and not give up too soon. The great thing from Og Mandino is he took it right from the Bible. I'm going to persist. I'm going to hang in there until I get it right. Paul said at the very end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." I love those verbs. I have fought all that he needs to fight. I have finished. I haven't quit too soon. I have kept. He hasn't discarded it too quickly, the faith. "Therefore there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and all of those on that day who have loved his appearing." Wow, there's the way you finish. You finish strong. I used to tell Andrew and Alex that when they were in school and at home. I'd say, "All right, we're getting into April here, and I know you're tired of school, but you got May to go. You got finals coming up. You got papers due and all that. Finish strong, you know. Don't get lazy. Don't get senioritis. Don't quit too quickly." And I thought, yeah, that's true in life. We need to sometimes think about, are we quitting too soon when we quit those things that really need to be done? What's a good habit? To think, I will persist until I succeed. All right, number four then, moving right along here. See how these things look so simple on the surface, but when you think about them, it really takes some effort, but it's the right kind of effort. It's the right thing to do. Yeah. Number four, I am God's greatest miracle. I am God's greatest miracle. Now, miracle here is in quotes, because becoming a Christian is not a miracle. Of course, a miracle is that which is out of the realm of science, out of the realm of natural law, that which is divinely oriented outside of providence. You know what a miracle is, right? Even having a baby is not a miracle. That's just normal. People have babies. Somebody say, oh, a baby's a miracle. No, a baby's not a miracle. A miracle is just a reproduction after its own kind. It's providence. But becoming a Christian should be the greatest event of your life. Truly, that's the relationship among all others that you cherish the most. I know you love your spouse. I know you love your children. I know you love your friends. But the greatest relationship you have is you are God's child. That's the best one. That's the needed one to go to heaven. Yeah. And it's such a wonderful thing to be a child of God. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. And what we need to learn to do every day in the habit is to realize what we have in Christ. We look about us and we see our economy, you know, going down the tubes or whatever, and maybe your health is declining, and maybe there's problems here and problems there, and we kind of scratch our heads and say, what's going on here? I don't get it. What we need to remember, the habit that you need to cultivate is every day, you are a child of God. You're a child of the King. Yeah. And think of the tremendous blessings that so often we overlook because of that. One, we have all physical blessings assured. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, once again, how many times have you looked at that passage? How many times have you heard that passage? How many times have you read that passage? But how long have we been living that passage? How long have I been living that passage? So many times we get upset about, well, I don't know where my next meal's coming from, and you might not. But if you're a faithful child of God, that's not your problem. That's his problem. Because what you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God's going to add all these things to you. That's the beauty of being God's creature, of being a child of God, that you are God's greatest miracle. You are God's chosen person, a Christian. All your past sins have been forgiven. You have been rescued. You have been delivered. You have been transplanted from the domain of darkness and put into the kingdom of his beloved Son. But we don't always live that way. Oh, woe is me. I don't have this. I don't have that. Things aren't going well. Oh, this is just terrible. Whoa, look where you are. You're in the kingdom of his beloved Son. And you are loved. You are a member of the church. Everybody who's baptized is automatically added to his church. You have access to God's very throne room in prayer. They won't let me go see Barack. You know, I go over to the White House, knock on the door. Hey, I want to see Barack. And they say, all right, you can't get in. You know, I can't go see the president. A lot of people I go get access to. You have access to the very creator of the universe every time you bow to pray. That's a pretty good blessing. That's one we take for granted. I guarantee you we do. But that's one of the wonderful things, an attitude to say every day when you wake up, all physical blessings are going to be taken care of. My sins are forgiven. I'm a member of his church, and I have access to God in prayer. I mean, you can't beat a deal like that. You can't do it. And then you have the hope of eternal life. And that hope is not, I wish. It's a sure thing. You have that promise that when you die, you go to heaven. Wow. I am God's greatest miracle. And you are too, as a child of God. We need to be living that way each day, knowing the blessings that we have that way. All right, number five then, the last one for today, halfway through this fabulous list of great attitudes, great habits to develop as we live the Christian life is, I'm going to live this day as if it's my last. I'm going to live this day as if it's my last. The Apostle Paul only had 2 days on his calendar. Now, the one in my office got 365. Fact is, I got that Google calendar thing. I really like it for scheduling appointments because wherever I'm at and I've got internet access, there's my appointment book, you know. And that thing, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's got a whole lot more than 365 days on it. But Paul's calendar, as I read about in the New Testament, only had 2 days. There's only 2 days he was concerned about: today and the day. That's right. Go back and read Paul. He wasn't so worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He wasn't worried about the past. He said, I forget the past. You know, Philippians 3:13, we've already been there. He was worried about today. How am I going to serve God today in preparation for the day? Yeah, judgment day. The last day. Yeah. That's the 2 days on your calendar. And so truly one of the things that Og Mandino says that we see from the Bible is that we need to live today as if it's our last day. Because that's really the only day we care about, is making sure we get it right today. To make sure we don't sin today. To make sure that we encourage somebody today. To make sure that we do whatever we need to do in repenting today. Because that's all we got. We don't have tomorrow. It's gone. Yesterday's just a promise. Or tomorrow's just a promise. Yesterday's gone. We got today in preparation for the day. Yeah. And so Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, be careful how you walk, for the days are evil. Yeah. Be careful how you walk today, because the days are evil. He says, realize that evil days are coming. And in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, he says, in the last days, difficult days will come. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I've seen that in my life, and you have too. It's amazing how society just keeps going this way, isn't it? Just keeps going down. Things that I thought I'd never see on television are just everyday stuff. Things that I thought I'd never hear on the radio, just everyday stuff. Things I read in print, just everyday stuff, because our society just keeps going downhill. And I think, why is it going downhill? Because the Bible said that's what's going to happen. The truly evil days are coming, and they'll proceed from bad to worse. People will be deceived and deceive others. Yeah. Be careful how you walk today. Get today right. And then tomorrow, of course, will take care of itself. Jesus, in the idea of discipleship, said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. You know, some people say, well, I don't know if I can be faithful for the next 20, 30, 40 years of my life. Hey, that's just a huge commitment. All right, let's not think of it in the terms of 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Think of it in terms of today. Can you be faithful today? Well, yeah, I think I'd probably do that. That's all he asks. Take up your cross, deny yourself, follow him today. And if the Lord blesses you to get up tomorrow morning and tomorrow becomes today, then say, one more day. Yeah. One more day to deny self, one more day to do that. Yeah. Take it on a daily basis. Sure. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, beginning, encourage one another, lest there be any of you who has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, or daily. You know, sometimes I think about all the people I need to encourage and all the people I need to see and all the people I need to visit that I don't get done, and I get discouraged. And I'm thinking, well, you could do one of those today. Yeah. You could start today that way. Yeah. And so truly, if you just had one day to live, and that's all you really have, that's all I have is today, live it as your last. Repent of whatever you need to repent of. Encourage who you need to encourage. Take care of whatever you need to take care of. Because as you live today, you're preparing for the day. All right, well, in review then of the five we've talked about, have you been challenged today? I hope so. I know I have. Today, I'll begin a new life, a new attitude. Today, I will greet the day, not with anger, not with disgust, not with prejudice, not with worry. I will greet the day with love in my heart. I will persist until I succeed. I am God's greatest miracle. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I need to start living like it. And I'll live this day as if it's my last, because it's all of God. Living today in preparation for the day. As we extend heaven's invitation, there may be one or more in the audience who needs to become a Christian and start making these habits part of their life. And so we encourage you, as you need to come, to do so, to become a child of God. Or maybe there are those in our audience who need to repent of sins and say, those are the good habits I need to start and get rid of all these bad habits called sin. And then truly, it's time to do that as well. If you need to come, please do so while we stand and while we sing.